It is good to be back with you and All Saints. Of course, the ministry of All Saints continues whether you are physically in the building or not. True? The Church of Christ continues where you are, in your home, in your neighborhood, in your interactions, in your fellowship with one another as we celebrate life together. Thanks to Pastor Kristen for her ministry, for inviting me also to join with you in digital worship. Sherry and I are holding up pretty well in the pandemic, spending this time together, and also helping out our granddaughters from time to time and just trying to keep healthy. Thanks for letting us hang out with you today. My first question for today, where do you find encouragement in these discouraging, kind of noisy times where you feel your whole existence perhaps is on sensory overload? Maybe you're doing okay. Frankly, I can get a bit discouraged with the day-to-day noise of competing narratives about truth and falsehood. Somehow I grew up with a strange concept that at least trying to tell the truth was an important goal to strive for. True? Understanding that none of us is perfect, of course. Unfortunately, as a society, and as individuals, we're kind of reaping what we've sown for many years as a society in a narrow focus on individualism and selfishness and competition with others and winning at all costs. Especially in these noisy times, I've noticed even more that we are losing our sense of community. And COVID-19 has not helped. But perhaps the pandemic has also driven us to a hunger to find creative ways to regain that sense of community. Thanks for being creative through All Saints. Thanks for helping us zoom into new ways of proclaiming the central message of the gospel from the God of all consolation. These are very challenging and opportune times. I'm drawn today with you to the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 1:1-11, as you begin this entry into this chapter especially, as a message for the early church, but also for you and for me in our present time. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all consolation. Perhaps you've heard this passage read in a variety of settings, but also maybe at a memorial service, because it speaks of the consolation from God for shattered relationships and even death itself. Actually, this passage speaks to a grieving family in need of hope very well about that resurrection hope. But that's not all that there's here. The Greek word here for consolation can also be translated as comfort, as compassion, as healing counsel, as encouragement, all of those. So when you see four translations, I challenge you to do this. Look at the different translations you have of this passage. You'll see a variety in that passage, especially with that word consolation. When all of that happens and where there's such differences in these translations, you need to know that the same Greek word from Scripture probably has much deeper meaning than we can capture in one English language word. So pay attention. There's more to it. In 2 Corinthians, these alternative meanings could be very helpful in digging deeper into the word. Sometimes it's fun to try out the other words for a new look at the good news. How does it sound if we read this God of consolation as a God of encouragement, who encourages us in our afflictions so that we may be able to encourage those who are in any affliction with the encouragement with which we ourselves are encouraged by God? That's a lot of encouragement. What about shifting to the word compassion, suffer with? For just as the sufferings of Christ are abundant for us, so also our compassion is abundant with Christ. Or the word comfort. If we are being afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. if we are being comforted, is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we also suffer. See how deep that goes, how much richer it is when we see things from a variety of perspectives. Our hope is unshaken, for we know that as we share our sufferings, also we share our encouragement with one another. These are words of community and restoration. Whichever words you use, I think the central message is clear, that we are made for community. Don't you feel it? We're made for community. We are not designed by God to be competing, selfish, safe, self-made individual entities. Those are all byproducts of sin. For example, Cain and Abel, sibling rivalry, those byproducts come to destroy us oftentimes. We are created by God to live in community with one another and to care for one another. Somehow we've lost track of that simple good news. The church in Corinth in Paul's day was also wrestling with Paul about what it meant to live in community. There were so many competing messages going on, tough issues rocking the church. It was difficult. And Paul was even having trouble being heard by the people of Corinth. There were tough issues going on. These Corinthian letters describe uneasy times the church was going through. Things were messy. Yet by the grace of God, somehow the gospel was still proclaimed in the midst of messy times. Community was the key. I hear a clear message of caring beyond myself from a God of encouragement, caring for those from other backgrounds and challenges than ours, keeping our eyes and our minds open to see that not everyone is like us, like you, like me. Those one another's in our world, those especially who are struggling in this time of pandemic, those that society itself forgets to see, we are all community. How do you in these days sort through all of the noise and hear the good news of the gospel? Now, one that draws us together again in community. First of all, you're here in worship in this electronic format. And perhaps with your family or communication with friends or coworkers, seeking to share words of encouragement with others. That encouragement comes as a natural response to the love and the encouragement that comes to you from God. We are still trying to figure out what it means to be faithful to that gospel and to be a follower of Jesus and to live in community with one another. But here it is, and here we are. Mr. Johnson was one of my most influential high school teachers. He was influential, but a bit terrifying. Influential because he taught social studies, the study of human interaction, sociology, psychology, anthropology, political science, all of that. I eventually went on to get a degree in sociology at the University of Minnesota, with side interests in psychology and history. He was also a bit terrifying in high school. As a young high school student, happy to just be in the crowd, in contrast to my comfort level, he had a rather creative and in-your-face style that was a bit terrifying at times. I do remember one specific class session very well because of its impact on me. I can still picture the classroom. I can picture the chairs and the board up front. And the bell rang in this session. And he didn't say anything. He walked over to a counter and he turned on a radio with people talking. And then he turned on loud music. And then he turned on, there was a movie and a projector and on a screen and more visual and audio images, and the sound was increasing louder and louder and louder, all these competing voices, images bombarding our ears, and our eyes and our senses, and it seemed to go on forever. Then as suddenly as he turned it all on, he turned it all off. We kind of anticipated the next step. He randomly went from one seat to another in the classroom to different students. You can imagine, as I was witnessing this, I was sinking smaller and smaller into my chair, as small as I could be. And then I looked up, and he was there, looking directly at me. And he said, "Mr. Sorensen, what did you see and what did you hear?" And as I pulled my heart back into my chest, I tried to give a fairly intelligible question or answer. Sometimes we're better than others. But in a way, I think Mr. Johnson was a type of bold Apostle Paul figure trying to wake us up to pay attention to the fact that our class, our society, was actually community together, bombarded with an overabundance of noise that distracts us from hearing what we need to hear and distracts us from hearing one another as well. What is going on all around us affects our community, but what goes on inside of us and how we care for one another is even more powerful. You know that. All of that stuff that's going on around outside of us is sometimes fear-producing, sometimes challenging, sometimes frustrating. It makes us anger. What's going on inside and how we care for each other, reflecting the love of God in our life together, is much, much more powerful. I think that's what Paul was trying to tell this Corinthian church that was struggling with all these different issues. Pay attention, he was saying. Pay attention. Build one another up in the community of Christ. Encourage one another. I think it's time to be creative, don't you think? Time to work together. In the past several months, I've had a strong personal calling to be encouraging and available as a volunteer for pastors and congregations to build up the community of Christ through small groups. I've been doing kind of a pilot project thing. Frankly, especially in these times, we truly need one another, I think, to clearly focus on the life-giving encouragement from God through Christ. In some of this volunteer free time, in the past couple of months, I've been working on this project to explore new ways of getting people together in safer settings, either through Zoom or in person, following the CDC guidelines to be as safe as possible. After working with others in the last 2 months, we have now developed 7 Making Faith Connections small groups involving almost 50 people. This is just a pilot. This is just my volunteer stuff. But I'm excited about, I'm charged up about this, about the possibilities to actually connect in new ways, in creative ways. I've recently begun offering my volunteer time to pastors and congregations who would like to try developing safer setting small groups in person and or on Zoom. Presentation and content and PR and training and leadership support materials, I've already developed it. The design is pretty easy to implement. And I'm a volunteer. This is volunteer. Looking to give back from my perspective in thanks to God for the gift of many ways that God has blessed Sherry and me through the church. What do you think? Are you intrigued? I'd love to walk side by side with you. I'd love to walk side by side with everybody in our community as much as possible, whoever is interested. to develop more of these Making Faith Connection groups. I even have a picture about that. Making Faith Connections, connecting faith, friends, faith, and everyday life. I suppose I could say this is commercial, but I'm not getting anything out of it anyway. So it's all volunteer. So I just like to have fun with this stuff. So why don't we talk some more? Pastor Kristen and I have already started some preliminary conversations about encouraging a new sense of community in these days. And I've talked with other pastors too. I'm excited to explore and stretch and creative ways to share encouragement in these discouraging, noisy times. Yes, we have to be careful. Yes, we only invite people into things that they're really comfortable doing. Absolutely. But I think we can be creative. And you are already creative. I see so many faces on here I miss. I would love to be creative with you as well. So grace to you, friends. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May our gracious and loving God fill you with the consolation, the comfort, the compassion, the healing counsel, and above all, the encouragement as you face each new day with the hope in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen.